Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word, the Bible, speaks to us today because it's living and active by your Spirit. Father, we are amazed at that. Please speak to us today that we might hear your words as we read your word. And we ask it in your name. Amen. So we're thinking about prayer today, and as we already thought about, we're thinking about what's best to pray for somebody. What's best to pray for somebody? Sometimes it's quite hard to know what to pray for somebody, isn't it? If we don't know them, it's really hard to pray. But if we do know them, it can be quite hard to know what to pray. It can be really hard if, well, that they seem okay. So, let's say that they've got lots of sweets and chocolates. Mm. Or what if they're actually quite fit and healthy and they're not particularly sick? Well, what if they seem to have got enough money? They've even got a shiny red sports car. It was red, wasn't it? Luscious red? Luscious red, I think. Lipstick red. Well, sometimes it's hard to know what to pray for someone. Well, Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, he prays for the Christians in the church in Ephesus, the Ephesians. And as he prays for them, we can learn, well, what's great to be praying for other Christians. What's great to be praying for other Christians? Yeah, he gives us a prayer that we can use for ourselves, for our church family, and for other churches too. But what does he pray? Well, he wants us to be excited about all that God has done for us, that we'd be excited too. That's the most important thing we need to remember today. If we're excited about who God is and what he's done, then we'll be excited to pray and to pray for, well, all God's people. Now, help us think about this. Just look at verse 15. See how Paul's excited. He says, for this reason, because of all that we've been thinking about who God is and what God's going to do through Jesus, because he's excited about God, what does he do? He prays. He's heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for all the saints. That's the church there. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering my prayers. And so because he's excited about what God has done, he's excited to be praying for them and wants them to be praying too. You know what it's like when you've got really good news to share and you just can't keep it in. It sort of like bursts out of you. Or when your team scores that winning goal and the excitement just bursts out of you and you even might want to do a little dance. Even if people are looking, you're that excited. Well, Paul, he's excited and wants the Ephesians to be excited too. Well, if we're thrilled about Jesus, then we'll be thrilled to pray. Well, what should we be praying? And here's what I want to think about. And I've got three things for us to be thinking about. I was going to find a picture of a donut, but they didn't look as good as the donuts here. So what are we praying about? What are we praying about? Well, the first thing I want us to see about what we're praying is again, it's in verse 17. Okay, the first thing that he wants us to be praying about. And to help us start thinking about this, okay, needed a little bit of help. Okay, because Paul prays that we would get to know God better. Get to know God better. Look at verse 17. I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. Now, right, I've got two presents here. Okay, now, in one of these presents is something that you're going to really want. Yeah, and I've been here 2 weeks now, and I know what you all want, and it's basically chocolates, isn't it? So, I've seen that already. It's like every week. So, like chocolates. Chocolate with your donuts. It's kind of good. So one of these will be chocolates. Now, here's the slight thing, okay? Right, I did actually get some lovely chocolates. It didn't last in our house. I had a very unhappy moment last night, so I managed to find some other chocolate for you. It's still good chocolate, but it's not the chocolate I planned. That's just an insight into our family. And something that you definitely won't like. And the question is how do you know? Now, you might look at it and think, well, ooh, shiny red, like a sports car. Ooh. Or you might think, ooh, Olaf. Olaf, yeah, it's got to be Olaf. Or you might think, smaller, boring, bigger, exciting. Which one excites? Which one do you want? How do you know? Well, if you're going to know which one you want, really, we need a bit of a clue, don't we? We need a bit of a clue so we can find out which one we want. So I wonder if there's anyone else. I'm going to put in with our children here. Do you want to, I was going to make a start. Okay, someone, anyone here good at opening presents? Anyone good at opening presents? Or I'm going to need to kind of just take care of this for a moment. Now, okay, what I want to do is just take the wrapper off. Okay, don't just take the wrapper off there. And, you see why it's on. So here's going to be a clue. Go on, quicker. You can rip it. Go on. Okay. Great. What is it? It's a shoebox. Okay. Now, there might be some of you who've got shoes this week, but doesn't really help us, does it? Kind of, is it shoes? That might be a bit weird. It's not chocolate. Someone up here. Someone help. Go on. Throw me a bone. Someone help me. Now, this one is going to be a bit trickier. Okay. Go on, go and open it for me. Now, I'm going to need to be a little bit... Ooh, are you ready? Ooh. Now. Oh, right, that's not a shoebox, is it? No, okay. So we're starting to get to know what's better in it now, okay. Now, here's the next thing. Okay, we've seen kind of what's inside. We're getting to know it better. I'm liking the look of chocolate. I'm liking the look of chocolate. Now, okay. Now, here's a little thing. I want you. Okay, yeah, it's almost like. Okay, yeah. Here's the thing. Does it smell like chocolate?
Oh, no.
Definitely not. Okay? Definitely not. So we've got another clue here about what's in my boxes. We've got a box that clearly probably isn't Maltesers. No? Well, should we have a look inside? No, it's not Maltesers. You might be able to see. Oh, it's onion skin. Anyone want onion skin? No! Do you want to smell? Have a smell? Does that smell nice? No! No, it doesn't smell nice at all. But what's in the other box? Oh, just get rid of that. Oh, it's my leftover chocolate. You see? Ooh, who likes chocolate? I know you all do. I've seen. It's a chocolate bar. Woo! Do you like chocolate? Well, you can come and grab it afterwards. First come, first serve. I'll put it with the donuts, but you might prefer the donut. Now, look, here's the thing. If we wanted to find out more about what this thing was, well, we needed to know more about it, didn't we? It wasn't just enough to guess. Well, Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, over above everything else, the most important thing that he prays is that we would know God better. That he would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That is, God's Holy Spirit would help us to do the most important thing that we can do in this life, and that is to know God better. Have you thought about that? So when you think about how we can pray for other people, and you think, I don't know how to pray for them, you can pray that they would get to know God better, that God would help them to understand who he is better, to know him better. Because knowing God is the best thing we can have. Look, as we open the Bible today, this morning, guess what? We're doing just that, aren't we? We're getting to know God better, what God is like. So Paul prays firstly that we know God better. Secondly, what's next? That we would know our hope in verse 18. We know where we are going. Now this is a tricky verse, okay? So you need to help, you're going to keep helping with it. Let me read verse 18. He says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance with the saints. God wants, Paul prays, that God would open the eyes of our heart. Now that's a funny phrase, isn't it? Most of us have got eyes in our head, in our face. Yeah. But here he's using a phrase from the Old Testament that means that kind of simply that we would know with all our hearts. Think of it like that. We would know with all our hearts to be filled in our hearts, in our inner being, in every way, where we're going. The hope to which he's called us. Well, what is that? What is that future that God has for us? Well, look again. He says, the hope to which he's called you, which is the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now, this again, it's a tricky thing to help us understand what Paul means here, but it means this, okay? The inheritance is treasure. It's what God really, really treasures. So I've brought it here with me this morning. It's in a box. It's quite small. It's quite surprisingly small, actually. Would you believe that what God treasures more than anything else is in this box? Who believes me? Not sure I believe you or not here. Don't quite know you well enough for that yet. No, it's true. It is true. What's in this box is what God treasures more than anything else. It's not a rabbit. No, it's like, no, it's not chocolate. It's not even a shiny red sports car. But it'd be a very small one. Maybe that's what we can afford. A weenie one. Anyone? It's extraordinary, isn't it? Do you want to have a look? Is anyone curious? Paula, do you want to have a look? She wants to know. Okay. You ready? What it is? You ready? In this box. You brace yourself. Are you ready?
Yeah. That's so sweet.
No, it's not a sweet. So sweet. Yeah, yeah. Rob, you're giving me a bit of a clue there. Okay, what's your story? Robin, do you want to have a look? I can't hold it up because it might fall out. What God treasures more than anything else is you. You know that? It's you. You are God's prize, God's treasure, God's inheritance. Now that's the thing is, that think about this for a moment. Normally when we think of this, we think, where are we going as a Christian? Well, we go through our lives and we are going to go to heaven to be with God forever. And our hope is that, well, we'll keep going so we get there for that wonderful thing that we'll be able to enjoy. But actually Paul turns it round and he says it slightly differently. He says, no, where we're going is actually all about what God will have, not what we will have. Look again at that verse. He prays that we'd have the eyes of our heart enlightened, in order that we may know the hope to which he's called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance, the saints. Well, he's told us what that is. It means that we're God's possession. We're God's treasured people. We're God's prize. Isn't that amazing? And so Paul's praying here that God would give to Christians the Holy Spirit, so that we might know in our inner being, in our hearts, we'd know with all our hearts that we belong to him and he'll keep us going until we're with God in heaven to be his delight forever and ever. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That we would know that. Now look, we wouldn't know that unless God helps us understand it. But that's what he wants us to know. That we would know our hope, know where we're going. If we're a Christian, he'd say we trust Jesus, then we belong to God, and not just belong to God like we might have toys, or we might have shoes that we wear to school, or we might have chocolate in our cupboard. No, we are God's delight, his treasure, what he loves more than anything else. Isn't that extraordinary? The love of God is so poured out onto his people that we would know that we are his treasured possession. If our heart's been enlightened, then we will come to value what God values. We would come to know that he loves us and values us incredibly. And that's what Paul prays for the Ephesians, that they might know God's love for them more and more. Well, he doesn't want us to kind of live life not knowing that, wandering around aimlessly trying to find a reason for our living. No, Jesus is to be the one whom we're to live for. So we're to know our hope, know where we're going. That's the second thing. And the third thing is to know God's power at work in us. Now, let me just read to you from verse 19. Let's pick my Bible up. Here he says in verse 19, as he carries on, so he's praying that we would know God's incomparably great power for us who believe. The power that is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him the right hand in the heavenly realms. So he wants us to know this great power of God. Now here's the thing, I've got a quiz for everyone here, okay? So which do you think is stronger for its size? An elephant or a human? Well, that's the world's strongest man. Who thinks an elephant? Put your hands up. Who thinks a human being? Put your hand up. Ooh. A bit divided. Who really hasn't got a clue? No, who doesn't care? No, actually, everyone wants to know whether we're stronger for our size than an elephant, don't we? Look, if we're like this chap here, I can't remember his name, I think he's from Latvia or somewhere, but okay, he's kind of done lots of training, okay? Do you know what? The human is more strong than an elephant for its size. It's amazing. Now, that man there can lift twice his weight, and look at him, that's quite a lot, okay? But the elephant, well, that's a very, very powerful animal. It can move 9 tons. 9 tons. I can't even imagine how much that weighs. Probably more than all of us put here together. But here's this elephant. The thing is, elephant's a really big animal in the first place. It can only lift 1.7 times its own weight. So there we go. The human is more stronger for its size. Let's go smaller. Oh. Which do you think can move more? An ant or a dung beetle for its size? Ooh, any ideas? Who thinks it might be an ant? Ooh, who thinks it might be the dung beetle? Ooh, Robin does. Robin thinks it's the dung beetle. Oh, can I tell you? Right, an ant. An ant can move 50 times its own weight. So imagine that's like me carrying 50 of me's. Okay, so that's a lot, isn't it? It can move all that. A dung beetle can move, are you ready for this? A dung beetle can move over 1,000 times its own weight. 1,000 times. That's like me pulling, how many? Yeah, 6 double-decker buses. That's the equivalent. 6 double-decker buses. Can you imagine that? It's just amazing. They're so powerful. But the thing is, they don't look it, do they? They don't really look that powerful. Well, here's the thing. God in his word, he might not look very powerful to us. But Paul prays that we would know just how powerful God is. And the big show of his power, says Paul, the big show of how powerful he is that he raised Jesus from the dead. That's one of the most powerful things we could ever imagine. Because, well, when Jesus died, everyone else has died and stayed dead, haven't they? But God raised him from the dead to show his power. And Paul prays that the power of the all-powerful God will be at work in us, and we would know that power at work in us because God is working powerfully amongst us for his good for us. Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? We would know God's power. The thing is that it might not seem like God's very powerful and working powerfully in us. But again, we have to listen to what he says. Listen, that we would know his incomparably great power for us who believe. It might not seem like it's powerful, but God is working in the most powerful ways we can imagine in our lives. And Paul prays that we would know that. Would know that. Let me read verse 21. This power that he worked in Jesus was Notice what it was for. It was far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who is everything, who fills everything in every way. So God is at work through Jesus for his people, the church. That's amazing, isn't it? God's great plan and purpose for the whole world is for us as his people. Don't miss that. So we go back to school on Monday, tomorrow. If we go back to work, back home, get on with life, get on busy doing the things we have to do each day, going shopping, doing homework, having to sort out the laundry, having to get on with all that kind of paperwork, all the things that we have to get on with within life, all the things that we can be busy doing, we need to keep reminding ourselves these wonderful things. To know that we belong to God. And therefore we can know him better. That we're his treasured possession. And that God is at work powerfully in and through us to fulfill his work in the world. Because it doesn't look like that to us, does it? So we need to know that and keep being reminded that we know that. Well, look, let's not want to forget these things. Paul wants us to keep remembering and know them more and more. And so I'm going to pray that God would do just that. And wonderfully, it's a prayer that we've already had prayed today. In our prayers in the service. I always worry about when we do prayers. You know, someone has to do prayers when we're thinking about prayer in church. You kind of think, oh no. Well, wonderfully, did a brilliant job for our prayers this morning. And they began with this prayer that I'm going to pray for us. So let's just bow our heads and we're going to ask God to help us. Now to Jesus, who is able to do more than we ask or can imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Heavenly Father, please would we know just how much you love us, that we might know you better, that we might see our hope and our value to you and your incomparably great power at work for us. Amen. Well, up on the screen, here we go. I've got some questions for us to be taking away. Now, next time, I'm going to be a bit more organised about this and get them on the service sheets or on a bit of paper with them or something. But here's some questions for you to be thinking about for our little ones. We might be thinking about this, a conversation to have over lunch. God loves it when we talk to him. Do we like to talk to him too? That might be a good question to have with our little ones. Or maybe it's like, or maybe 5s to 7s. What would help you to remember to pray for people at church? There might be some of the grown-ups that want to think about that too. Or for the older children, the 8s to 11s, Paul's so excited by God and what God's done. He loves to pray. How could you get more excited by God? For our teenagers here, maybe you want to think about this question. You might think, well, it's different for Paul. He's like a super Christian where I'm just an ordinary one. I can't pray like Paul prays. How does this passage encourage you to pray like Paul does? And for the grown-ups, here's an important question. How superficial are your prayers? What would fuel them to pray bigger prayers for others, more like Paul? Well, we'll put those questions back up at the end of the service so you can make a note of them, think of them, and why don't you just talk about them over lunch or the rest of the day. Have a ponder on some of those things.